This morning I wanted to invite three people to come up here and give their testimony about Jesus rising from the dead. These are eyewitness testimonies. Okay, they really have actually seen Jesus. And they're going to be, don't be nervous, they're going to be Matthew, Mark, and John. Okay, the followers of Jesus who saw him rise from the dead. And I was watching a news program last week where it was a morning news program, one of these, you know, mainstream news things, and a bunch of folks were talking about the resurrection or Easter. And they were kind of skirting around the issue and beating around the bush, talking about, well, it really inspires humanity, you know, to think that you can get up after you've been beaten down. And the trees have leaves now, and before they didn't have leaves. So you see, there's a message in there about something, who knows what. And finally, one of the guests said, "Wait, I have a question." He said, I really believe, and my church teaches, that Jesus came out of the grave physically, and there is an empty tomb over there. Could you guys talk about that and what that means?" Well, that changed the whole tone of the conversation. Finally, there was good news happening in the hearts of those people. So these stories are true from Matthew, Mark, and John. We could say Luke could preach next year there. Half of it is from the Bible, and half of it is application. Okay, so you're going to have to listen and just put yourself, Mark's talking to you, and then, no, actually it's Matthew first, then Mark, and then John. And this is not practice for drama club or anything. It's what these guys said about the risen Lord. And you know, they've impacted your life just by how you've read those gospel writers. These are Bible guys. And so this is going to be a first-person sermon for most of it. I turn into Matthew and then Mark and then John, and it'll be very short and simple, but you hear how that Jesus changed their life, because Jesus changed your life like this too, or certainly he wants to. So here they come. Let me introduce you to Matthew. My name is Matthew. My biggest problem is a divided heart. I love money, and I love power. Does anybody identify with that? I took care of the money thing by being working for the IRS in Jerusalem there, part of the world. And I took some for the government, and I took a lot for me. All right, so I was crooked. But I couldn't help myself. I thought that was my security. And I took care of the power thing by working for the Roman government. They were the bad guys, but whoever had the biggest gun and sword, I would work for them. So I took care of those two things. Also, I had a respect for God because of my Jewish background. In fact, there was no more religious person around than me. When I wrote my gospel, I put more things in there from the Old Testament than any other gospel writer. In fact, it opened my eyes after Jesus rose from the dead that Old Testament really didn't have what I needed to face life. I walked away from that Old Testament thinking, you know, I'm doing all these sacrifices and I'm going through all these ceremonies, and still I see nobody out there defeating death. And I see nobody out there giving me peace with God. So I was in trouble even after the whole Old Testament was written and after that 400 years of silence. And there I was, still needing the Messiah. And he came. And I was so glad to meet Jesus. He is changing my life. And he called me to himself. You don't think I was sitting there thinking, you know, what I need is a rabbi to follow. I'm like you. I'm not into following anybody. I'm into living my own life. But Jesus came and said, I have a plan for you. We could respond in a similar manner. Matthew says, he continues to say, "When I first met Jesus, I gave him a big banquet," true story, "and I invited all my tax collector friends to this big banquet. And everybody threw a fit. He said, what is this holy man Jesus? And Matthew, the dummy who threw this party, getting together with all these really bad characters?" And there was a little scandal there in the town. But Jesus said to me, he said, "Hey, just remember, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick." And I think Jesus was telling me that my soul was sick with sin, and he could help me with that. He was the doctor I needed for my biggest illness, my life against God. And he wanted me to follow him anyway. And so whatever sin is, the self-destructive, against God, against yourself, against others mentality that you would struggle with, let me tell you, as Matthew, Jesus could help you with that. Now, when I saw Jesus rise from the dead afterwards, he said to me and he said to all of us, and nobody else wrote this in their testimony, I did. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And I'll tell you, that's true. All the power belongs to God in this world and for your soul. And all the true wealth belongs to God too, for your soul. You know, money and power from a human point of view, they don't interest me too much anymore. They're just there as a part of life. But God has the power. God has the true wealth. And I say, give your soul to him, and you'll find life and life forever. And I wrote an invitation, by the way, that no other gospel writer wrote. And here it is. When Jesus said this, come to me if you're weary and very tired, and I will give you rest. And I, as a busy tax collector guy, have found that to be true. Jesus has given rest to my soul. Well, let me introduce you to my friend Mark. So here comes Mark. I am Mark. I'm the youngest gospel writer. I'm the guy who wrote the first gospel. I was always in a hurry. You'll see why. I'm the most anxious, fearful, and insecure person you're ever going to meet. So if you have that problem, first good news for you. When Jesus was arrested, the Roman guards grabbed my robe. I happened to be there. And I started running. I ran right out of my clothes. I ran naked into the night. You won't see that re-depicted in any Easter cantata. You should be thankful about that. That's one part of the Bible. We'll leave that out at 10:45. I was running away from God, but now I run to tell people about God. That was the change Jesus brought to me. Even after he rose from the dead, though, I described that first Sunday with these words. The people were like this: alarmed, afraid, trembling. That's what I noticed. My soul is still like that sometimes, by the way. I still had a problem with fear. After I saw the risen Christ, I dropped out of being a missionary because I couldn't handle the intensity and the difficulty. The Apostle Paul wouldn't even let me back in missions work. He said, no, not you. And Barnabas had to come and give me some encouragement and help me. But Jesus gave me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. Matter of fact, 70 times 7 chances or more, as long as I had breath. That's how many chances Jesus gave me. And he'll do that for you. And Jesus even let me write a gospel. And I wrote down a prayer in my gospel no other testimony guy wrote. Matthew didn't write it. And Luke or John. It was a prayer of a desperate person praying on behalf of a family member. They felt desperate. They were concerned for their family member who was demon-possessed. And Jesus said, do you think I could help you? Something like that. And I said this to Jesus: Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And you know what? I still pray that way sometimes. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And guess what? Jesus answered that prayer for me. And he'll answer that prayer for you if you pray that way with a sincere heart. Now let me introduce you, or my invitation, by the way, that I wrote down, nobody else wrote, that Jesus said, When he said this, God, to me, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That changed my life. And it can change yours. Let me introduce you to the last friend here. My name is John. I'm a son of thunder. I'm loud. I wanted to kill some people who didn't want to follow Jesus. I said, Lord, could we call down fire from heaven? Jesus said, no, that's not a good idea. I am competitive. I am focused. I wrote down more words from Jesus than Matthew did, Mark did, or Luke did. The red letter edition was invented by me. All these words of Jesus. And I describe myself as the disciple who Jesus loved. Now, I did that not because my ego is big, although it's big. I wrote that because Jesus' love is so powerful. When He loves you, it feels like you're the only person in the world that He loves. I hope your heart feels that way. He can help your heart feel that way if you open it to Him. He will never let you feel left out. When I heard Jesus was not in the grave, my competitive instincts took over. I wrote in my gospel for everybody to hear. You heard Bill read it. I outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Always loved being ahead of Peter. He tried to be first. Peter was behind me when we reached the tomb, and I was first. I saw and believed. And in spite of my me-first attitude, Jesus used me to write 5 books in the Bible. That's incredible. And I heard Jesus say this, which I wrote down. Nobody else wrote. He's the first and the last. He's the living one. He's dead. He was dead, but now He's alive forever, evermore. And I wrote this very, very special verse that almost all Christians know, and even half the unbelieving world have heard the numbers. Well, for this one. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. And if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And I heard Jesus say this. I wrote this down. Nobody else wrote it. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will raise him up on the last day." And I wrote another very special invitation. My own invitation I heard Jesus say. And it's to all of us on Resurrection Sunday. He said this with great intensity to a group of believers. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." That's how close our risen Lord wants to be with us. So there, those are the testimonies of the 3 Bible guys, Matthew, Mark, and John. And they really, really would love to keep introducing us to Jesus. We have their stories. And their stories can help us have a story to tell too of Jesus being alive forevermore. We thank Him for that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for these simple gospel writers who were very much like us, going about their work, a lot of problems, a lot of sin, but a wonderful living Savior that they got to meet. And we pray our lives be impacted by the good word, Father, of Your Bible. We pray that every day we would be hearing You speak, just like Matthew and Mark and John heard You speak clearly to us in Your word, but also from Your spirit to our spirit. And The impact of our lives, Lord, would be foolish to think we could influence as many lives as Mark and Matthew and John did. But that was Your call. Lord, You chose those 3 simple guys and Luke. And You would choose us in our own part of Your creation to be a witness for You. And in heaven, heaven knows the impact that You'll make, Lord, through each one here. So I pray You'd bless each one with Your peace, Your good news, Your love in their soul, and might they feel the power of the living Christ every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.